Turn with us this morning. Turn with us to Ecclesiastes in the ninth chapter. Ecclesiastes, the ninth chapter, and Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament. It is a book that I believe most people would think of as a time for every season. They would know those scriptures and they would realize that those are wonderful scriptures. Some of my favorites, I believe that they are wonderful scriptures. The ninth chapter is one that deals with something a little different. This one and the thought that's on my heart this morning may not be the most heart-pleasing or the most mind-stirring. It's not one that I have enjoyed studying this week, greatly because of the message. But it is one that I think the world has truly wanted the answers to. They have truly tried to find out all that they know about. But really, the answers are the Lord's. They are all His anyways. But the ninth chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes says this. We'll start with the first verse. It says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean. To him that sacrificeth, and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead do not know anything, neither have there any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy, it is now perished. Neither have they any more of a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them." And our thought this morning, if we could title it, would be, "When Life is Over." Like I said, this is not one that I believe is going to make you shout glory, hallelujah, or anything of that nature. But my thought this morning is, when life is over. People, all of their lives, spend every, I think, ounce of their being. Some people do, I don't myself. But some people spend all of their time figuring out ways that they can live forever. They spend all of their energy in making sure that they can prolong their lives so they can enjoy the things that they have in this life. But I will say to each and every one of us that someday, every one of us, we will die. There is no way to escape it. There's no way for any of us to get outside of it. There is one way that can happen that can take all of that away, and that would be the Lord coming back. But I'll tell you this, there will come a day when this life will be over. People have spent money, they have spent all of their time and their resources trying to figure out ways that they can live forever, but I have the key to that. This morning, I know the way that leads to eternal life. I know how that today someone can live forever. And that is through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Now, I want to say this. Living forever will not not be in this body. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to live in this body forever. This body was made in corruption. It was made in sin. Corruption equals sin. Sin equals corruption. When sin entered into the Garden of Eden, I'm going to tell you this morning that our bodies were going to die. They were going to collapse. When they were made, I believe they were made to last forever. But when Adam took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I believe that the bodies that were there, I believe that sin caused them to have an expiration date. Every single one of us is just like a gallon of milk at Walmart. We have an expiration date that someday our life will be over. There is no way to escape that. But I'm going to say this morning, that I believe the best days, I believe that they are ahead. I believe that living in this life is a wonderful thing. I believe we should enjoy it to the fullest of our capability. But this is not the end. It's not over when we leave here. There's a lot of people today that will contend, or they'll say that when you leave this life, that that's it. We're just like an old animal, that once it's over, there's no more memory. You know, I will say this morning, that some people, when they pass away, their memory may be forgotten. There's a lot of people that you go to the graveyards and you look at the headstones and there's nobody living that knew that person. But I will contend that that person is either one of two places. He's either in heaven or he is in hell. His soul is not there. The person is not there. I will say this also. When you go to a funeral home and you pass by the body and you go up and we view the body, the soul is not there any longer. The soul has left the body to go to its eternal resting place. There is no purgatory. There is no in between. There's no place that you stay that anybody can pray you out of. There is a place called heaven, a literal heaven, and there is a literal hell for every person that has ever been born or ever will be born. Because when this life is over, you've got two choices. You've got heaven or you've got hell. Now, I know that I'm speaking to a church or a congregation mostly full of saved people. And I'm going to say today that all of us have thought sometime about our death or our leaving this world, our leaving this life. I know that I do, and I'm 22 years old. I think about it because I'm going to say that life is fickle. Life is not certain for anybody. The Bible says that we're here today and gone tomorrow. We're not promised another breath. We're not promised another moment. Every single one of us are living on borrowed time. We're living on time that God has allowed us to have, because someday this life will all be over. And I'll say this, the thought of dying does not scare me. What maybe does scare me or maybe does worry me is how it will happen. But I'll say that I can't tell you how it will happen. If I had my way about it, it would be one of two ways, either preaching the gospel or when I lay my head down to sleep at night and He just takes me out of here peacefully. But I don't get to choose that. The Lord does. But someday my life will be over. Someday your life, it will be over. But Ecclesiastes says this, "There is evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of man is full of evil. And madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead." It said, but there is one event unto all. There's one event that happens to every... two events, basically, that happens to every person. You are born and you will die. Those are two events that I am certain happens to every person. Now there are other things that may take place in your life and other people's lives, and they may not happen to someone else. I do believe also that every person that lives, that has a sound mind or reaches the age, will come accountable for their sins. I believe that also. I believe it's made for every person. There's no way to escape that also. There's no way for you to be able to say that you've never been accountable for your sins. If God has let you know you're lost, you are lost and on your way to a devil's hell until He lets you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. There is a clear distinction in that. But there's a clear distinction that there is one event unto all. And I'll say this, there's a lot of people today, and I was reading maybe a couple weeks ago, or maybe it popped up on one of the articles that I was reading, but it said that they figured out a way for people to live that they are until they are 120. I'll say this, I don't want to live until I'm 120. I'm forgetful now. Things hurt now. Things ache now. I can only only imagine what it would be like to be 120 and wake up and say, Lord, just come and get me, take me out of here. You know, I'm thankful for the life that God has given me. And the Bible says that 70 years would be a good time span. 70 years would be a good lifespan for people to live. And there are some here today that have reached that and are enjoying extra time that God has allowed them to have. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for every day that God allows me to have. I have heard this statement, and I'll say it again. I'm not running up and down the banks of the Jordan looking for a shallow place to cross over. I'm happy living here. The Lord has blessed my life. He's given me more than I could ever imagine. He's given me more than I've ever deserved. But I'm going to say that life will be over. The fun, the times that we've had, the heartache. And we may read some scriptures about that. It'll all be over. But I'll say this also. For every person, I've thought of some rich people this week. You know, we talk a lot of times about dignitaries or presidents and kings and queens and actors and actresses. People that we look on the television and we say, well, you know what? Those people may be immortal. We look around and we see that those people have the best of the best. They have money that I'll never have. They have houses and cars that I'll never own. And you know why that they want to live forever? It's because they've earned those things or they've been given those things and they don't want to give them up. You know, I don't know what it's like to have those things, so I'm not going to be worried about when it's time to go and the Lord takes my piddly stuff away, because God's given me what I deserve. He's given me what I have and I'm happy with that. But those people don't want to let it go, because I'll say this, they know that there is not a happy time for them. I don't believe, and you can say what you want to, I don't believe there's one true atheist that has ever lived. And I'll say this, my reason behind it is because in their minds and in their hearts, they must know that there is something far bigger than you and I. There has to be something that is far bigger than what we see and what we know. They have to know that. People can say in their minds and their hearts that there is no God, but bless their hearts, when they leave this world, they will know that there is a God. They will know that there is something bigger than them. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I would rather do that here on this side of eternity while it still counts than to do it when the Lord comes back and not to be worth anything and still die and go to a devil's hell. You know, I have thought, and we have seen in the last couple of years, we've seen some pretty high profile people that have passed away. And you know, when you see that, when you see those realities, you remember life is not forever. A life strikes everyone. A life happens to everyone. We see bumper stickers that says life happens or things of that nature, and it does happen, because every person must face the judge. Every person must face eternity. We all are just living for eternity. And I don't want that to sound morbid or bad or mean or make you to think that, oh, well, I need to go out and do everything that I can because life is short. Yes, it is. Life is truly short. Job says that we're a few days and full of trouble. The Bible also says that we are like a tiny vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. It's like a flower that is blooming today and then tomorrow it's shriveled up and gone. That's how quick that life goes. I was thinking back in just a few short weeks, I'll be 23 and I keep thinking, well, someday the time is going to slow down. Time is going to catch up and I'm going to have a little more time than I have now. And I say this, it is not slowed down one bit. It's gotten quicker and it's gone quicker every day that I live. Every moment that I live goes a little quicker, it seems. But I'll say this, thinking about when life is over, it says in these scriptures, it says, go thy way. It tells them here, it says, you're going to die. You're not going to live forever. For the living know that they shall die. The living know that. We all know that. We don't question that. From the time that I've been able to know anything, I've known that life would catch up. Life would end for me someday. I knew that. But it says this, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully. And it goes on to talk about living joyfully. I'm going to tell you what I believe that means and what I believe Ecclesiastes meant. I don't believe it meant go out and eat and drink things of the world, drink things that aren't good for you. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. It wasn't talking about a wine that people drink today for other priorities or other things that they do. I believe it was talking about something that they had that day. It was not alcoholic of that nature. I want to get that out of the way very quickly, because some people say, take that verse, it says go and drink wine and guess what? I can live merry all the days of my life. That's not what it says. That's not what it means. That's not the connotation that we must take this in. I'm going to say today, if you do those things, if you live that kind of life, guess what? The chances of losing your life are a whole lot easier, a whole lot quicker for you than it is. And I'll say life, death can happen for anyone. But I'll say this also. I believe that death, you can speed it up. I've never seen anybody standing on train tracks that stood there and said, guess what? I'm going to stand here regardless of what happens. And a train starts coming. Guess what? You've got two options. You can stand there and get hit, or you can get out of the way. I don't believe God's going to jerk you up and move you over. I believe some people have the ability to speed up their death. They have the ability to leave this life a whole lot sooner. And I'm going to say this. People that live in that nature, that live in that way, bless their hearts. They're just asking for a quicker death sentence. Sometimes we read about all of the time, and it saddens my heart that people will get behind the wheel of an automobile drinking or things of that nature. We should not live that way. We shouldn't. Life is too short as it is. Life is too fragile as it is. So why in the world would we need something like that to speed it up any quicker? I don't understand the things of that nature. But it says, go thy way. You're going to die, but go thy way. And I'm going to say this, living in this life, the best way that I know how to tell you to live this life, and most of you all are older than I am, and you've been here longer than I have, but I'll say this, that the best way that I know to spend this life is serving the Lord in everything that we do. That's the best way. I have been to a lot of funerals. I have been around a lot of elderly people that have been toward the crossing of their time. I've been around them a lot. I've seen it happen. And I remember, and I can tell you from great certainty, just being around my great-grandmother, and I speak about her a lot. But as she began to face the end of her life, and she began to face knowing that she was not going to be here long, she would still talk about the Lord. She would still talk about serving the Lord. And there were many times when we would gather around her bedside and she would begin to sing those old songs. One of the ones I remember her singing was "When They Ring the Golden Bell." She knew that her life was over, but she knew where she was going. And I'm going to say today that we can know where we will go. There's a lot of people today that don't know that. A lot of people today that will teach you cannot know that. I contend that you can know that you've been saved. You can know where you're going to spend eternity. I know where I'm going when I leave this world. I can't vouch for not a one of you. I can't vouch for any of you because I don't know where you're going to go. I don't know about your soul salvation, but I do know about mine. And the Bible says that we can know. I'll say this as well. I've been around a lot of people that have prayed and have asked me to pray that their family members wouldn't die. You know, I always pray this prayer when somebody says, "Will you pray for my family member that is close to death?" I'll always say, "Lord, let thy will be done." Sometimes God calls people out of this world quicker, sometimes shorter, sometimes longer. I can't tell you why God does what He does. I can't tell you all about it. I don't know all about it. That's why death for so many people is so scary, because they believe and they think that it's just this big imaginary thing that happens. You know, I don't know a lot of things. I don't. If you told me to walk through that door over here, I could pretty much tell you what's going to be on the other side of that door, because I've been in that room before. But I have never experienced death. Neither have you if you're here. You've never experienced the chilling hand of death, because I believe that it is chilling. I believe it's very sobering for every person, because in the end, what matters? It's not about what I have. The coroner, the funeral director, he's not going to look at me and he's not going to say, "Well, he's got $5 and this one has $10, so I guess that this one's better off than this one." That's not what's going to be looked at. You know, they may come around and they may look at me and they may say, "Well, you know, he's a pretty nice person. Been a good person. He tried. I hope somebody will say that he tried. I hope they'll say that." But they can't see where I'm at. They can't know. But I can make you this promise. If I don't see any of you ever again, if before we meet back here tonight or Wednesday night or next Sunday or whenever the next time we gather back in this church house is, if for some reason I don't make it back and some reason you have to come visit the funeral home where they have laid me out, don't look on my body and say, poor, pitiful him. Look at me and say, guess what? He's finally where he wants to be. I finally gained eternity. I finally gained my real home. I say this, I'm not looking forward to the act of death, but I am looking forward to what's on the other side. You've ever gone through a tunnel and you can't, it's big and long, and you can't see the other end, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. When sometimes you get to the end of the tunnel, it's a beautiful sight. You know, I believe that's how it's going to be when we leave this world for those that have been saved, and I'm going to read a few scriptures that I believe will tell us that. If we will turn over in your Bibles to the book of Revelations in the 21st chapter. And this is what the scriptures say about heaven. It says about what will happen when we get there. Why? I preached a sermon a few Sunday nights ago about heaven. And I truly believe that heaven is going to be wonderful. I don't believe it's going to be something that you and I are going to be disappointed in. Been a lot of places that they've promised would be the best vacation spot I've ever been in, and I've been disappointed. But I'm not going to get to heaven and say, well, this isn't what I wanted it to be. The beds aren't big enough. The air's not set the right way. No, I'm not going to have any of those things. There'll be no disappointments where I'm going. Where I'm going is going to be eternal. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be satisfactory for every person that has ever been saved. And John saw these things, and I'm just going to read one verse, the fourth verse. What a thought that this is. When life is over, oh, what a thought to think this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things, they are passed away. Life, when it's over, it's over. I like football, I like basketball, I like sports, I like all of those games, and guess what? When they're over, they're over. There's no going back and playing it again. When life here is over, there's no going back and say, well, I want to fix this mistake and that mistake and all of the things that I wanted to do. There's no more of that. When life is over, it's over. When I get to heaven, there'll be no more tears. There's lots of tears of sadness that we spend down here. There's lots of sorrows that happen down here. There's lots of things that come our way that we don't know how to deal with. But guess what? Someday all of it will be over. There'll be no more having to, and I say this not to put church down because I love going to church. No place I would rather be. But someday there'll be no more need to come to the church house. There'll be no more salvation. There'll be nobody else getting saved. Because once life is over, once life's over for you, once life's over for me, that's it. People don't get another shot. There's a lot of people today that teach that the Lord will give you 1,000 years to get it right. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that when God says time is over, time is over. And it may be for all of us at the exact same moment. Oh, and I believe the Bible is very clear that He shall return in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. I don't believe it's going to take all day for Him to descend back. I believe it'll happen so fast. Well, none of us know about anything other than God's coming back. He's back to call His children home. And I believe it's the same way with death. Now, people have been told, they have gone to the doctor, they have been given bad news as far as sicknesses, and they've told them, you've got 3 to 6 months, a year, however many much time that you have. And I believe that doctors, I believe they're men like I am, and sometimes they do get it wrong. I'm thankful that sometimes they do get it wrong. There's a lot of people that I know that the doctors have gotten it wrong, and they're still living way after that they said that they would be living. I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad the timekeeper is held by God above. I'm glad it's His decision, His moment that we come out of here. But guess what? Every single one of us, no matter who you are or what you've done, and you know, this thing is recorded, this sermon's recorded, and it may never get played on the internet. Nobody may ever listen to it, but I can guarantee you, wherever people are today, every person that has been born, they must face the judgment seat. they must face the same God that I faced. It won't be any of this, well, you almost got saved, or you almost did well. Mm-mm. When time is up, time is up. I thought about this a little bit this week. And I preached a sermon one time, and I titled it, and I got home and I was listening to a tape that my Uncle Mildred had preached many, many years before I was born. And we actually titled it something very, very similar. The title that I put on that lesson was "Death is Sure and Hell is Hot." And he put "Death is Sure, Hell is Hot, and Eternity is Long." Eternity is a long, 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 long time. I can stand here for the rest of my life and say long, and I still won't get it all in. Why, some of you all, and I don't know who the oldest person is, I'm not going to ask you to tell it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You may think that 80 years is a long, long time. When I was young, I thought, boy, 80 years old, that's going to take a long time to get there. And guess what? I'm getting closer and closer every year. It's getting faster and it's getting faster, but time shall cease on the other side. You know, I'm really appreciative of that point. I won't need this thing anymore. I'm not going to need the cell phone. I'm not going to need anything like that because there'll be no more time. Life down here, we all spend our time worrying about time. Do we have enough time to do this, enough time to do that? Guess what? It won't matter when we get to heaven. Because when life is over, the cares of this life are all forgotten. This is a sad thing to think about. But I was thinking about some of my family this week and those that are lost and they're undone without the Lord. You know, there are many of them that have never told me about a time and a place where the Lord has saved their soul. But you know what? I won't remember them anymore. I'll not know that they're not with me. I will have no remembrance of them again. You know, I will say this, I maybe have preached more to the saved people this morning, and in saying that, I'm going to tell you, when life is over, we've got the best to look forward to. Why, this life has nothing compared to what heaven's going to be like, nothing compared to what eternity is going to be like, and the things that we will enjoy. Oh, but for those when life is over and they're lost, there's nothing here like they're going to experience there. And they will be there forever and ever and ever and ever. So I will contend and I'll say this. I believe that those that have not been saved, those that are enjoying their time here, they better enjoy it to the best of their ability because it will not get any better. This is the best that it will be for them, but it's not the best that it will be for me. I have a few more verses of Scripture that I want to read and I'm going to try to close this morning. Hebrews in the 4th chapter, and I'm not going to read it all. Some don't know who the writer of this book was. I believe Paul wrote it. I believe that he wrote it with just as much as he did any of his other books. I believe it's written by him, and he may have had different people to help him write it, but I believe he wrote it, and I believe he said this in the 4th chapter. And some people have taken this, and I tried to look in a commentary this week to see what they thought, and they went completely in a different direction than I believe that it's talking about. It's talking about entering into your rest, or going into your rest, and I'll say this, salvation is rest with the Lord. I believe that. But I believe that there is a rest coming for those that have been saved far beyond this life. The 6th verse says this, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time as it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus have given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into this rest, he hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and have opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." I want to make just a couple comments about these verses here in 11 and 12, 10 and 11. It says, "For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." You know, while we live, and I hope and pray everyone here this morning has just a long, happy rest of your life. I hope you live a long, long time. I hope I get to be around you people for a very long time. I hope the Lord blesses us with that. So I'm going to contend and I'm going to urge Mount Calvary and all of the ones that are here today, I'm going to say this. Until life is over, let us labor on until we enter into our rest. Our work, it's not over here. We wouldn't be here if our work was over. God would call us out of here and take us on home if our work was over. And I believe that until our work is over, we still must labor. We must strive to see souls saved, because there's a lot of people today that are not saved. It says some have turned away in unbelief, and I don't want that for anybody. I want people to be saved. I want them to know what I know. So let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest. I'm sure most of you all are the same way that I am. When the workday's over or I'm done with activity that I am done with, oh, it's a joy to be able to rest and go home and put on some pajamas or whatever you like to put on, some comfy clothes, and just rest from the day that you've had. Let us work while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work. Guess what? Someday we're going to go to a place of peace and rest, and there'll be no more working for souls or for the Lord. All will be peace and well up there. The Bible tells us that we will be able to worship the Lord in the Spirit and in truth. And I'm thankful that that's the best thing that I'm looking forward to, is seeing the Lord when this life is over. I've never been able to see Him physically. Oh, but someday, guess what? I'm going to see the Lord. And if you've been saved, you're going to see the Lord when this life is over. There's a verse of a song, and I believe it's "Oh, What a Savior." It says, "Death's chilly waters I'll soon be crossing. His hand will lead me safe o'er." You know, each and every one of us must face death, and I hope and pray that death doesn't scare you to the fact that you don't want to die. If you're lost, I hope it does scare you. But I don't fear death, because I just know when I leave here, I'm just going to the other side. We're listening to a song on the way down here. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. I like to live in that way. I'm a winner either way. Should I leave or should I stay? May God bless you is our prayer. When life is over, where are you going to spend eternity? We're going to have a song. If you're lost and undone without the Lord, this altar is a wonderful place to come seek the Lord. If you've been saved and you want to come pray, you're more than welcome to come pray as well. It's always open here at Mount Calvary. So